SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Party people, yes, it is a party. The best hour of your day is now officially underway. It's Moneyline, Donnie Wrightside here, going to be joined by a special guest in just one segment. That's the big man on campus, because we got to talk some college football. It is week zero. The best hour of your day is underway. This is SiriusXM Channel 159, and we're ready to bring that pain right here on Moneyline. My goodness, the hot topics are going to flow today, and we will have so much fun getting you ready for football. Some bets tomorrow. If you watch the early line with myself and Ben, we are going over some of those bets already, which I will once again tell you about. Florida State is going to tee it up tomorrow with Georgia Tech right off the bat at noon. And I guess you could say the rest of the day is going to be interesting because those games aren't great, but it's still football on our TV screen, and we will absolutely take advantage of that. All right. So a lot of things happening yesterday. If you listen to the show, some decent RBI chances that we had yesterday came through early in the afternoon, so a slightly profitable day for us. Friday's Major League Baseball card, we got some good pitchers that we are going to be able to pick on. Now, granted, Jeff's going to join us for a couple segments, so later in the show, I'm going to tell you about 4 to 5 pitchers you absolutely have to be on your card tonight that we're going to be able to fade and get some home runs, get some RBI props, get some total bases props. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good weekend here, because what do we like to say at the Sports Grid Network? It's Friday, it's payday. So it's time to find those angles and those advantages that we are going to have. Let's talk about some things that happened over the sports landscape, which included yesterday. As you guys know, yesterday put the 2-week marker on board for us, which meant on Thursday Night Football, in 2 weeks from yesterday, we will have the opening day in the NFL. And oh my goodness, we cannot wait. The Baltimore Ravens are going to take on the Kansas City Chiefs at Arrowhead on a night where they bring out the Lombardi trophies, hang another banner, show everybody their rings, and away we go into the season. Can't wait for that to get here. But before it does get to game number one, in week number one, we have to finish up this preseason process overall. Now, yesterday, again, these aren't advantages that you have in the preseason. You're just trying to read numbers and say, okay, one team might play some starters, the other team might be already looking forward to week number one. And you saw that yesterday with the two games played. Favorites covered in both. One team favored by a touchdown, one team favored by a couple of points here. You saw the Chicago Bears go on the road and beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Oh no, the Chiefs aren't going to be competitive this year. Stop it. We know how preseason works. In the other game, the Indianapolis Colts favored by about a touchdown over the Cincinnati Bengals. Both of those teams were road teams. Both of those teams did wind up covering their spreads. That's what I thought would take place. But here's the interesting part. Were you guys watching that Colts game itself? Because, of course, you're saying, okay, let me keep an eye on this one game and check back to the other, because the Kansas City game, Chicago game, really didn't have too many starters playing, if at any. Were playing in that game. So it was sort of like a little side eye to see if the Chicago Bears would cover for me. High scoring affair, by the way, too. But if we are focusing on the Colts, you're starting right there with Anthony Richardson, their quarterback. We're not pressing the panic button on the kid, because last year we should have saw 15, 16, 17 games out of him. Regardless of the win-loss record, you would have an understanding heading into this season. You would have your franchise guy and you're ready to do battle and say over the next 10 to 15 years, I expect this guy to be a high-level quarterback. It looks like a linebacker. What is he? 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", whatever he is, 250 pounds. Moves like a freight train out there. But the question has always been, not the athletic prowess of Anthony Richardson. How is he going to be able to make the decisions that are going to lead your football team to victory? If you saw drive number one, again, going up against some of those backups here, Is that live, JP? Is that live going on right now? It's in my ear, though. All right, so we have a little bit of issues in the background right now here, so I'm going to try to take the pieces out right now. All right, so I'm going to continue to talk at this point right now, but if we are looking overall at that preseason game last night, it was Anthony Richardson that you say to yourself, he's got to be the star quarterback I need in order for them to make the playoffs. And if we're saying, all right, well, the playoffs need to be made, you got to make good decisions here. And you saw that drive number one. It was absolutely sensational. It was everything that you wanted out of that team. You wanted the quarterback to make strong decisions. You wanted that offense to go up and down the field. You didn't want to end with a punt or a field goal. You wanted to end with a touchdown. And you saw A.D. Mitchell get in the end zone like, wow, you know what? This is something that we wanted to see out of our young quarterback, and maybe now he's ready for the regular season. But also at the same time, you saw him get back out there for number two, drive number two, I should say, right? And that drive number two was not something that you wanted to see from the Colts here moving forward, which means you threw a pick six interception on a play where you thought your wide receiver might be going a little bit to the inside or the outside, and you threw the opposite direction, and it was a walk away at that point here for a touchdown. Pick six, and then the next couple drives didn't fare all that well for Mr. Richardson. So those questions are going to start to come up, but also at the same time, if I'm trying to say, let's find my starting quarterback, I think I have him here, does that mean you want to put bets on the Indianapolis Colts this year? Because as a handicapper, we like sure things. And even though sometimes we think we're getting a sure thing, it doesn't turn out in our direction, at least we have that knowledge that we can step into a wager with a lot of confidence. Tell me this right now. You think the Indianapolis Colts, as they sit right now, would be a top two team in their division? Do we think that's actually a case at this point now? I don't think that's the case. I have them third in the AFC South right now. I think that's what their landing spot is going to be. Because if I'm looking from the division top to bottom, I do think the Jacksonville Jaguars are better than them. I also think the Houston Texans are better than them. We don't know what we're getting out of the Titans, and I expect the Titans, if Will Levis doesn't play good quarterback, not to be a great football team. But if Will Levis has an average season, could we be finding the Indianapolis Colts on the bottom? There's way too much talent on that team, but it goes right back to the starting quarterback. You saw last year they were competent under Gardner Minshew. But that's all you really need. Is competency here from the quarterback position. That's what you're looking forward to. So for my money here, I didn't like what I saw from Anthony Richardson last night, but again, coming into the game, I wanted to see him do well. He did well in drive number one, but I didn't have high hopes for that team throughout the season. So I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, but if we're going to get one good drive, one bad drive, one good drive, one bad drive, and also the propensity to possibly get injured as he did last year. I feel like he got injured in every single game that he played in before finally being knocked out of the season with a shoulder injury. That's something certainly to keep an eye on. Also, big news yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles and Jahan Dotson made a trade yesterday. Should I say the Eagles and the Washington Commanders made a trade. That sends a quality wide receiver over to the Eagles, who are having an issue in training camp trying to find that third overall wideout. So obviously on one side, Devonta Smith. On the other, you have A.J. Brown. You have an electric offense that just was missing that one point. Are we saying that Jahan Dotson's going to be the end-all, be-all and the missing piece to a Philadelphia Eagles run to a Super Bowl championship? Probably not. Probably not. But you can't tell me right now. Skill for skill. I always thought it was up to the Philadelphia Eagles and the San Francisco 49ers with the best two skill position teams in the NFL. If we're including quarterbacks, running backs, tight ends, offensive lines, we can use an offensive line for skill, but primarily that wide receiver position. Now, yeah, Jahan Dotson. The Eagles have the best wide receiving core in the NFL now, along with Saquon Barkley in the backfield and a healthy Jalen Hurts that looks much better in this training camp than he did last year in training camp. And certainly, we were saying for most of the season, boy, it looks like Jalen Hurts has certainly lost a step. What's going to happen now? Well, looks like that step is back. We haven't seen anything out of the Philadelphia Eagles right now in that preseason. But at the same time, you never know. That'll do it here for episode, or should I say segment number one. The Big Man on Campus, he's coming up next, so make sure you stay tuned. SiriusXM Channel 159 right here on the Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie Wrightside on a Football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ooh, the time is now. It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159, Donnie Wrightside here with a special guest of all guests. It's the man. The big man. See, I don't even, can I call you the big man on campus now? Did you retire that? Are we just going straight up now as Jeff Nadeau? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, listen, you could always call me that because, you know, I've known you for a long time, and that's what you know me as. Yep. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was time to move on from that name. But listen, I still keep it, you know.
Look at that, man. You look good. You sound good. You're all over Twitter. You're all over social media. You got podcasts running out to your left and right. But I know you of all people. On the beginning of a college football season, I know you're loving it here. We saw the tweets. We saw the stuff all season long. Can't wait to get to week zero in college football. We are here at week zero. So what I want to do with you, Jeff, is we're going to take a look at these games this weekend, which, again, it's week zero for a reason. They're not great football games, but they are games. There are lines out here, and we've been around the block quite a few times. Some of these lines are on the move. We'll decipher them. Because also, during this show, I want to get your take, Jeff, on what you think about the college football year this year, the expanded playoffs, and also some teams to keep an eye on. But how are we feeling approaching week zero starting tomorrow at noon?
Yeah, I feel great. I mean, I think, you know, as you alluded to, these are not the greatest games, but for people like you and me, I mean, I don't really care about the watchability factor. It's football. I look at it and say, can I make money doing this? You know, some of these numbers, I mean, you have an FCS team as a 14-point favorite on the road against an FBS team. And I'll straight out say it. If you're Bronco Mendenhall, the coach at New Mexico, the same Bronco Mendenhall that has been a coach for a long period of time, if you can't sell that in the first game of the season, you're a two-touchdown underdog to an FCS team at home. If your team doesn't respond to you and give you an effort, New Mexico is a complete fade the entire season. This is bulletin board material. If you're the Lobos, look, they're not a very good football team. But, I mean, Donnie, a week ago, this line was like 8-9. It's 14 now. And look, Montana State's good. They're a good FCS program, but that's crazy.
Isn't it? Like, game number one is supposed to be, Jeff, like, when you're a Division I team, you get the cupcake at home. Like, you get to splash them by 21 to 28 points, and you find yourself as a two-touchdown underdog to an FCS opponent. It is certainly wild to take a look at. But that Florida State-Georgia Tech game, this is what we live for. And I know you subscribe to a lot of the same theories I have. When it's early in the season, you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. We don't know how these teams are going to perform. It's not like the NFL. We have so much information going back and forth. Sure, we know the characters. We know who's supposed to start. We know the running back combinations are supposed to be. But I know you love this. Florida State and everybody I've talked to this week, Jeff, Sports Grid, non-Sports Grid. No, man, Florida State going to roll Georgia Tech. Okay. So that line was like 13.5 in that range. Now we find ourselves 24 hours or so from the game. I'm looking at FanDuel right now. It's 10.5. And I see 73% of the tickets lined up on Florida State, 70% of the money lined up on Florida State, and the points are dropping. And I know I saw you do this yesterday, which I love it. Somebody goes, hey, I think I'm going to be on Florida State. And all I knew from your good luck with that was, we know where that one's probably going.
Well, because we've been here before, right? And like, I make all these numbers before the game, and I had this at 8. I thought the number was too high to begin with. I think we're kind of grading the Florida State team as the Florida State team that was kind of a playoff contender with Jordan Travis. He's long gone. Johnny Wilson, long gone. Keon Coleman, long gone. Now you have a guy in DJU who's at his third team in his career. He's a guy who, look, solid quarterback. But again, you're in Ireland. You know, weather could be an issue, rain, wind. I think you try to establish the run here. I don't think this is going to be an incredibly high-scoring game. And I'll tell you right now, Haynes King is the better quarterback in this game. Haynes King is a solid quarterback at Georgia Tech. They're an offense that I thought really played well last year. I think defensively, they're good enough to hang in this game. I had this at like, you know, 27-21, something like that. I felt, again, when it was 12-13, I thought that was too many. I grabbed 11. It's now down to 10. And as you alluded to, I like Georgia Tech already. But throw in the fact that this is one of your old 75-25 games where 75%, 80% of the tickets are on Florida State. But the money, and I'm talking about, again, last week, early tickets, The people that are betting that are smart people, and they're taking Georgia Tech. I'm glad to be on Georgia Tech, anything above 10.
And also, like, we're not playing at Doak Campbell, right, in Florida, where it's like, hey, Florida State's going to have that home field advantage. You're playing in Dublin, which means neither one of these teams have ever been put in that atmosphere before. And it's also, Jeff, not like, you know, we feel more comfortable about Florida State if they opened up against a MAC team or like a MEAC team last week, just to get their feet wet, beat them 55-0. Okay, we're rolling into it. Now you're out there, new quarterback, new running backs here, and also getting that bad taste out of your mouth last year by just basically quitting on the season and getting hammered by Georgia. There's a lot of moving parts there, and there is something to be said about a quarterback coming back with the same fold like Georgia Tech has.
And you're also, and you make a good point about the MAC. Look, those conferences against the Florida States, the Georgias, the groups like that, they're outmatched. Georgia Tech is no longer, they're not going to be outmatched in this football game.
Yeah.
And remember, I hate to tell a lot of you people, Georgia Tech was very much in the game last year against Georgia late in the season. This is a team that I like the culture they're developing there. I didn't like it under Jeff Collins, but under Brent Key, they have a better culture there. I think this is a big-time spot for them. And if you're Florida State, I think you're just looking to, as you said, you go over to Ireland, get a win, kind of set yourself up, and go from there. But, yeah, again, anything above 10 I thought was strong. If you're betting it at 10, you're betting Georgia Tech at the worst price. You can shop around and get 10.5. You want to get above that 10. That's a quality number. But again, I made this number 8, so I think we're getting a good spot here.
By the way, looking at college football now, because, I mean, Jeff and I, if you guys are just tuning in, like, oh, who's this new guy on with Donnelly? No, me and Jeff go around the block for basically a decade at this point, if not longer. But when we see the advent of legalized sports gambling come in, the thing that we love about it is more betting options, Jeff. And the reason I want to bring this up is, like, even with FanDuel, Bet365, whatever book you're using here, you have a multitude now of player props in college football that we never saw before. You want DJ Uiagalelei to throw touchdown passes? How about a running back to get a certain amount of yards? Are you playing those markets much more, Jeff, this day and age? Or you just say, you know what? I know what I like on these sides and the totals itself.
Nah, I'm an old school guy, man. I don't get involved with that stuff. Maybe occasionally, like in the NCAA tournament, I'm playing points props, rebounds props, things like that, zeroing in on a player. Yeah. But no, I mean, the most I'll get into are team totals. You obviously know that in college football, you can get some value there. But nah, I'm pretty old school. I don't play these teasers, parlays, all that stupid stuff. Once in a while, I'll play a 6 teaser in the NFL. But yeah, I don't go too crazy.
He's the BMOC. I'm Donnie Wrightside. It's a Football Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Moneyline in the morning right here on Sirius XM Channel 159 on Sports Grid Network. It's Donnie and the big man on campus, Jeff Nadeau, reminiscing, talking some college football because week 0 does start tomorrow. And Jeff, I know you, and I know me. Sometimes we look at those Saturday schedules throughout the year, whether it's week 2, week 3, week 4 in college football, and we say to ourselves, yeah, we're not looking at Ohio State versus Texas. We're not looking at USC versus Washington. We're dipping down. We're diving down for some lower options here in lower conferences that we feel we can make some money on. Now, you do have some of that this weekend. SMU in Nevada, 26.5-point line right now. Looks like that line's been bouncing around back and forth quite a bit. 55.5 total. And then you got Hawaii and Dell State with basically a 40-point line. So outside of the game of the day, which would be Georgia Tech and Florida State, you got any opinions on some of these other games here?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, I try to have an opinion on everything. I mean, when it comes to SMU Nevada, that's an interesting team, SMU. They're now in the ACC. Preston Stone is a really good quarterback. They have a solid defense. You know, that seems like one of those games where this number's only went up, but it is a road game, which kind of, you know, is SMU a little kind of, I don't know, kind of disinterested early? Game screamed 41-10 to me. I kind of like the under a little bit, 55.5. Yeah. I can see where, I mean, you look at Nevada last year. I think their quarterback completed like 54% of his passes. That seems like a lot of three and outs for Nevada. My concern, though, and this is always a concern when you bet SMU, they could drop a 65 spot, no problem on Nevada. I mean, USC did it last year. USC scored 66 in a game against Nevada. It would be SMU in the under. I didn't get involved. Delaware State, they've had major travel issues, which, Donnie, as you know, when you're making a 10, 11-hour flight, if you're Delaware State to Hawaii, you don't want to hear the word snafu when it comes to your travel schedule. You look at most of the kids that go to Delaware State. Delaware State, Donnie, is one of the worst programs in FCS football. They gave up, I think, the third most points per game. They're just a dreadful offense. Most of those kids have not been out of the tri-state area, the New York area, let alone going to Hawaii. And I go back to a guy I knew many years ago. He used to give me little pointers, this old school guy from South Philadelphia, this guy, College Chill. He used to tell me stories, and he said, listen, Jeff, when you have these young kids, these nobody teams, and you send them out to California or Hawaii, that's like a vacation, man. Many people never go to Hawaii their entire life, It's just a very tough spot. And this number has only went up for Hawaii. And I haven't even talked about them. Timmy Chang, they got this quarterback that can really wing it around. That game screams like 48-0 to me. I'd be surprised if Delaware State score. It would be Hawaii or pass. But Hawaii's not very good, and it's hard to lay 40 points with a bad football team.
Yeah. No, it is. It's just there are oddities here. Like week zero, usually you want those bangers across the board. And we'll get a decent one right at noon, but the rest of them leaves a lot to be desired. I haven't had a chance to talk to you about the expanded college football playoff. We'll get to some of the teams that obviously we expect to be involved. But I'm very excited for this because I'm under the guise that if I can have more meaningful football games across the board in November and early December, I love it here. I love the fact they went to 12 teams here. And you get to go, whoa, no. There's going to be blowout. That's not the point here. A meaningful football game in December and November from multiple institutions that typically will be knocked out by a loss, Jeff, in September are in it. How are you feeling this year about the 12-team college football playoff?
I think it's great. I mean, obviously, anything where you can get more football, obviously, look, I'm glad there's only going to be like one or two of those like G5 teams. If Liberty goes undefeated, they should make a playoff, right? You give them their moment in the sun. And look, if they make a run, they make a run. For me, though, I don't like win totals. I'm not a win total guy. I think it's a complete disaster when you're tying your money up for that period of time. That said, though, it's rare you can find a situation where, look, in a six-month period, you can double the money you bet. There's very few savings accounts that can do that. So I'm looking at it and I'm saying, okay, this is to me allows me to expand a little bit more, bet on good teams when I don't have to worry about whether them winning their division or their conference. I look at like an Alabama to make the playoff. It's essentially a flip, Donnie. It's -105 for Alabama to make the playoff. Just make the playoff. I don't need them to win anything.
Yeah.
Those kind of bets are a lot more attractive to me now. I'm excited about it. It obviously gives you a little bit more football. And it opens it up a little bit more where a certain team can win. Four was too low of an amount. We needed more, and I'm glad we have it.
Yeah, because now you're going to get the teams that you expected to be in there. And same thing last year. Like, I didn't think Florida State deserved to be in the college football playoff, and they were excluded. But if we had 12 teams, Jeff, we wouldn't have minded Florida State being in there. Like, hey, look, you had a good season. I don't think you're going to win anything, and they wouldn't have. But at least you have the chance and the opportunity to do that. 12 teams gives us a lot more leeway, which is what we're asking for. We're going to take a look at some of these conference winners of the Power Fives coming up next. It's Donnie, and it's the BMOC, right here on a Friday edition of a Football Friday on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back at it with the big man on campus. Let's get some previews here of these big conferences. Now, we don't need to go to a deep dive on all 10 or 15 teams, and the Big Ten now seems like has 30 teams here, but I do want to get some anticipation moving forward because it is a different college football season where it used to be, Jeff, you had to win your conference. You had to get your conference championship game where you had no chance to win a national championship. That's not the case now. Let's start in the ACC. Top three teams listed, Florida State, Clemson, and Miami. If we're just looking at one sports book, I just have FanDuel up here, Jeff. +320, +350, +380, all in a row. So if the ACC has to be called by Jeff Nadeau, which way is Jeff going in the ACC?
I'm probably going with NC State or Louisville, to be honest.
Wow. Okay.
I think both those teams are very good. If you're asking me out of those three, though, I would lean Miami personally. Listen, I said before that I felt coming into the season, Florida State was a little overvalued. I didn't think they were a top 10 team. They just lose too much production. You look at Clemson. I mean, it just seems like the transfer portal has passed Dabo Swinney by, right? What's Kay Klubnik? You know, I thought he would be something last year, offensive coordinator. They weren't much of anything. I do like Cam Ward, though. I think in that Miami offense under Cristobal, I think that could be a really interesting kind of spread offense. Defensively, they always get some real tough kids in the trenches there. So if you ask me to pick those two teams, I would go with them. But I really like what like a Dave Doran's doing at NC State. Look, the truth is, they're always a team that kind of never break through. They're always like 10-2, but they can never actually win anything. You look at their defense, they've got a high-level defense coming back. Grayson McCall is one of the best transfer quarterbacks in the country, kid from Coastal Carolina. I think he can put some big numbers up. He's the best quarterback they've had there in a while. I also look at Louisville and Jeff Brohm. They're a very interesting football team. Two teams, Louisville and NC State, that I think are going to bring back, Donnie, top 10, top 15 defenses. These are very interesting groups and kind of fringy 7-8-1 that I think can make some presence felt in a mediocre ACC.
By the way, Louisville usually has those real athletic quarterbacks. Is they have a returning starter this year, or they got a new guy this year?
So their quarterback's Tyler Shuck. He was at Oregon. He was at Texas Tech. Kind of one of those gunslinger-type kids, 24 years old, pretty old.
Yeah.
It's all about for him staying healthy. When he's healthy, he could put big numbers up, especially in an offense under Jeff Brohm that has been able to develop quarterbacks over the years. I mean, Jeff Brohm, he's developed kids at Western Kentucky, Brandon Dowdy, those type of kids. So I think him with Shuck, that'd be a good, I think, marriage there.
We'll take a look at the Big Ten here. Obviously, the big names on the board, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Michigan. And how about that? USC and Oregon, obviously, coming over from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. It is a big, expanding conference now with a lot of travel. Some people are saying, Jeff, it's just going to come down to that Ohio State-Oregon game. Is there any feelings for Penn State or Michigan as a chance to repeat? Or are we really just looking at the top of the standings there in the Big Ten?
Yeah, listen, I was big on Ohio State, and then I started hearing, you know, they don't know who the quarterback's going to be yet. I'm hearing stuff coming out of Columbus, Howard. They're not real sure about him. This strikes me Kyle McCord. You have all these opportunities, and Will Howard's not going to be able to do it. Maybe they go with a freshman quarterback. And then I look at Oregon, and I say, okay, you have Dylan Gabriel, who I think is probably a top two, top three front runner for the Heisman. Yeah. He's going to put up big numbers. You got Dan Lanning, who's arguably the best coach in college football. But here's what I'm going to say, and this is my issue. Penn State is a better football team, right? Drew Aller has some weapons now. Julian Fleming is a star on the outside that he can throw the football to. You know, think Jahan Dotson, you know, a guy you just talked about. This is a guy who really got no excuses. I think they have one of the best running back groups in the country, and we know that's a top five, top 10 defense. But my issue is the coach. I don't like James Franklin. My wonder, though, is will he eventually break through? I'm going elsewhere. I'm going Oregon. I'm going Penn State. Until Ohio State gets the quarterback position figured out, I can't go that heavy on them. Plus, they lost a lot of talent at receiver as well.
They did. They lost a lot. I guess banking on also. They're supposed to have a really formidable defense up there at the horseshoe, but defense only matters so much in college football, and that landscape typically is all about offense. The Big 12, Jeff, a lot of changes, losing a lot of top teams, which means some of these teams that typically maybe not looking to get into that playoff picture can do that. Utah, Kansas State, Oklahoma State, UCF at the top of the standings. Is Utah the cream of the crop out there in the Big 12?
They're definitely the cream of the crop, and if this group can stay healthy, obviously with their quarterback Cameron Rising, they're going to be the favorite. They should be the favorite. We know they're always good defensively. It's a tough place to play. They always have good special teams, and I've said before, there are very few coaches I'd take in the country over Kyle Whittingham. He's just that good. I actually went, though. I took a little flyer here. I took a shot with Arizona, 12-1 to win this conference, the new boys here. They maintained their quarterback, Noah Fifita, who is one of the better quarterbacks you probably don't know about. Terrio McMillan's one of the best receivers in the country. And Brett Brennan, their new coach, Jed Fish left. Brett Brennan did some really good things at San Jose, and it tells me a lot, Donnie, that they were able to retain a quarterback at that level. They were able to retain a lot of the players they had. That tells me the culture is really good there. I don't think there's a lot of great teams in this conference outside of Utah. Obviously Kansas, but they have issues at the quarterback with injuries. Kansas State, you know, they have some quarterback stuff to retain. So Arizona, I thought, was worth the look at 12-1. I thought that was too high.
Yeah, wide open conference there. And again, somebody's going to win that. Somebody's going to enter into that playoff race, and maybe they can even get a second team in, depending on how strong it is. Go ahead.
Arizona has to go to Utah, mm-hmm. but it's September 28th. Yeah. It's still very early. It's not going to be bitter cold there. You know, that's kind of a really interesting game late September there in Utah.
Heading up to the must here. We'll see if Utah is going to be the king of the Big 12, which leaves us with, Jeff, the SEC, usually the dominant conference in college football. And there are a lot of good football teams there in changing parts as well. Georgia, top of the leaderboard at a plus 180 price. Texas, plus 370 coming over into the SEC as some newcomers here. Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, and Texas A&M. Always a deep conference here, Jeff. And I don't think we have any more what? No East or West. It's just the top two teams are going to play in the SEC championship game. So who do we think is going to get that far?
Yeah, so Georgia should be the favorite. I just want to see what Carson Beck looks like without Brock Bowers. Obviously, he's really important to what they did. And without him, they weren't the same offense to me. Texas, they're replacing a lot of talent. I went with Ole Miss. Give me Lane Train. I love those uniforms, the light blue and red. I took Jackson Dart 13-1 to win the Heisman. They are stacked at the receiver position.
Yeah.
They bring in, as far as talent, they got a ton of talent in the backfield. That defense has gotten better and better. I'm really excited about that group this year. We've kind of waited for him to be the next big thing in the SEC. There's no more Nick Saban to worry about. I think the year is now for Ole Miss. There's a lot of hype. This group had one of the best transfer hauls in the country. Look, Georgia should be the deserving favorite. Will they probably win? Yeah. I like Ole Miss. Tennessee's a team to keep an eye on as well. They have a new quarterback, Nico Iamaliva. In that Josh Heupel system, he is going to score a lot of points. The problem is, I like Tennessee and Missouri. They're both very interesting teams. They just can't stop anybody. I think that's going to be their kind of issue. Ole Miss, if they can make a little bit of a move north defensively, I think they're very good. They shouldn't be 8-1.
By the way, we don't even get crazy prices. Looking at the Heisman here, I got Dylan Gabriel's the favorite at plus 550. And then you can go down almost 10 slots, Jeff, to 14-1, which is Cam Ward for the Miami Hurricanes. So if you were to pick and say, give me one player to watch, or actually this, give me a favorite and then give me like a dog price here on a Heisman Trophy winner. And do you play that market?
I think with Gabriel, he has to be the favorite. He should be the favorite. That's going to be an offense. He's going to put a lot of big numbers up. They're going to be relevant. I went with Jackson Dart as well. This year, I definitely went a little more deep. Brady Cook, 35-1. He has the best receiving core in the country. Missouri's a team that's a fringe playoff team. They could be worth a look. Maybe Drew Aller, Noah Fifita. A lot of deep shots here.
Football Friday. You hear that voice over there? That's the big man on campus, Jeff Nadeau. I'm Donnie Wrightside. We're going to keep rolling along, having more fun and more football discussions coming up next. It's Moneyline in the morning on a Friday right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
BMOC here, special guest on a Friday morning edition right here on Moneyline Series XM Channel 159. I'm Donnie Wrightside talking football here. And again, week zero, the excitement is football's back on your TV. Weeks one all the way through, fantastic matchups on a week-to-week basis. Much more football to talk about. But, you know, since I have Jeff here as well, like the NFL season, yesterday, Jeff, meant 2 weeks away from that starting up, which means on that Thursday night, going to be the Baltimore Ravens and the Kansas City Chiefs. Then a Friday night game down in Brazil for the Philadelphia Eagles and the Green Bay Packers. I know you do a lot of studying up on the NFL season. So how are we feeling about this season coming up, and also a Thursday-Friday start to the season, which the Eagles lose a home game and they got to play the Packers in Brazil, which could be a huge tie-breaking game later in the season?
Well, yeah, and as what you alluded to earlier, is this more football, right? You know, you usually have football Thursday, Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. Now you have Friday, which is nice, you know, an extra game. definitely as an Eagle fan, it's kind of a weird vibe. Even as a handicapper, you know, how do you approach that? Because as you know, it's all about body clocks and routines, and you're not only having to play on Friday, but you have to go to Brazil, which is, you know, just a very kind of foreign entity for the NFL. I'm excited. I think there's some very interesting future prices out there. Ones that I don't really understand. You know, I don't understand why the Buffalo Bills are the favorite. I don't understand why they're the favorite in the AFC East. Obviously, they have Josh Allen and, you know, pretty good defense. But, you know how important it is to have a high-level receiver. Look at the level of play Josh Allen went to when he got Stephon Diggs, right? You no longer have him, right? And you're at the point where you're going to have to depend on, like, a Keon Coleman. You look at the Kansas City Chiefs coming into the season. They have to play the Baltimore Ravens. The starting receiver might be Xavier Worthy, a rookie, right? Yeah. She Rice is dealing with off-the-field issues. Hollywood Brown is injured. So it's there's a lot of things. And I look at Cincinnati. Donnie, have you looked at their first six games of the season? I mean,
give it to me.
There's good, really bad, no horrible. Reason. Yeah. Like, and Joe Burrow generally struggles, and I have trouble betting on him a lot of the time early in the season, but I mean, you might get the Chiefs without those guys available. I mean, I really like Cincinnati. I obviously, that offense looks really interesting. Jermaine Burton comes in, the Alabama receiver, another weapon for Joe Burrow. Cincinnati looks really, really appetizing in the AFC.
Let me ask you a question about this, too, because you brought up the Buffalo Bills. I'm with you on that, because they seem like, Jeff, for the past, let's just say, not this year, in the past, that was the it team. Like, that's the team that's supposed to supplant Kansas City, get to the Super Bowl, and Josh Allen to win it here. I think they did take a big step back overall with talent, but they're still being priced as if they're ready to go. Like, all right, the offensive line is okay. The wide receiving core is unproven. I know Josh Allen is phenomenal, don't get me wrong, but it's not like they have a dominant backfield that can run you over, and a defense that's leaking oil and already lost Matt Milano, one of the best linebackers in football, for who knows? He might be out for the entire season itself. So when you look at that, it's like, am I betting the Buffalo Bills, Jeff, just because I think Josh Allen could be the MVP? Because really, that's what they're going to need. Like, the New York Jets, say what you want. We technically don't know what we're getting out of Aaron Rodgers. But if you get decent quarterback play out of Aaron Rodgers, that team is loaded on defense and has more weapons this year on offense. And then the Miami Dolphins, loaded on offense, paid everybody. The vibes are good down there. I agree with you. Looking at the Buffalo Bills myself, sometimes you like to be a contrarian player. But the more I saw them in the offseason, like, okay, I like them, I like them, I like them. And I said, you know what? Stack them up against the other teams in the division. Like, why are they being priced as a favorite at that point? Which, let me tell you, ask you a question about the conference winners here. Last year for me was the year you were supposed to beat, though, Kansas City. Having them beat Miami at home in the playoffs, it was freezing cold. They probably should have done that. Miami was such a walking wounded team. Then they went on the road to Buffalo and beat them. Went on the road to Baltimore. Baltimore gave up the most inexplicable offensive performance you will ever see, where they refuse to run the football, which is their bread and butter, and lost that game. Then they went into the Super Bowl, and I bet San Francisco, and they beat San Francisco. How do you bet against Kansas City, Jeff? Because I know you're trying to explain from the wide receiver position, but just like on that week-to-week basis, like, how do you fade Kansas City when, as long as they have Mahomes, it feels like that's all they need?
Well, and that's why, like, I get so irritated. I do a call-in on Friday with another guy, Jason Brown, who was on last year too, and he's actually talking about Patrick Mahomes, quarterback, and I say, JB, what on earth are you talking about? He's talking about he's not the best quarterback in the league, and because they have Patrick Mahomes, that's why, and it's hard for me to fade, but I just look at it eventually and say, can they really do it 3-4 times in a row? And I don't know. I think that defense, I mean, you lose. Didn't they lose to Jared Sneed? I mean, that's
Sneed. Yeah, Sneed left the Titans. Yeah.
Yeah, Sneed's a good corner, man. You know, you lose guys like that, and all of a sudden your defense kind of goes by the wayside. So throw in the fact that they have major issues at the receiver position. I hear you, though. And Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. But to me, I just I want to go somewhere else. I look at, again, adding a Jermaine Burton to a T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, up to a Joe Burrow. I think if Joe Burrow can just navigate the first, again, because he has been historically bad in the first three games of the season, if he can just navigate that, I think they're going to be just fine. And you know, I look around. Look, the Jets, you made a great point with them. I picked them to win that division. If you can just get a healthy and competent Aaron Rodgers, which, again, when he's healthy, he is still a very good quarterback with that defense, you know, with an improved offensive line. But my issue with the Jets is I'm not a Saleh guy. I don't like Robert Saleh. Yeah. I don't know how good a coach he is. I'm not a big Hackett guy. So He's still there, right? Nathaniel Hackett?
Yeah, he is. Just offensive coordinator.
I worry about them doing something stupid. And again, you mentioned the Chiefs. They have Andy Reid, and that's so high level, you know.
By the way, too, you look at the Jets. It's kind of crazy. Like, in this day and age, how much money the Jets have spent on whoever. They haven't made the playoffs. Not talking about Jeff, like, winning a playoff game or making the Super. They haven't. Yeah. 2010. That is a decade and a half the New York Jets haven't made the playoffs. So that also feeds into it. Yeah.
I had a guy yesterday. He's talking about, because I said on paper the Eagles have the best receiver best depth chart in football. And he said, yeah. Oh, why? So they can go to the playoffs and lose in the first round again? I said, hey, dude. I said, I don't know if you know, but they won the Super Bowl in 2018. They went there 2 years ago. And he's like, oh, I'm a Jets guy. I said, so why are you talking to me about football? Your team hasn't made the playoffs since 2010. You shouldn't be talking to me about football. Go away.
Yeah, no doubt about it. By the way, amazing. The question I want to ask you, too, because the break's coming up in just a moment here. In the AFC, the Houston Texans. Now, there's such an interesting thing, because I didn't expect a lot out of them last year. C.J. Stroud was so good, and he looked so good in the preseason. But we know things don't always work out to plan. Because the ascension is supposed to be, they're supposed to challenge Kansas City for supremacy in the AFC. I want to ask the big man on campus, is it too much too soon for the Texans, or are we actually going to believe that hype? Moneyline on a Friday, SiriusXM Channel 159. We'll be right back after these words.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A half later, basically, we're going to get the NFL, and then we start to collide with sports, the NHL, the NBA, NCAA basketball. I mean, it is my favorite time of the year. I love the months. September, October, November, absolutely sensational. But week number one is fast approaching in the NFL, and Jeff and I, like I tell you guys all the time, we are two peas in a pod here. So yesterday, as you guys were listening to the show, me just having some fun going over week one's games. And of course, Jeff in the break is like, you know what? There's one game that doesn't make a lot of sense per se week number one, so I won't even give it away, Jeff. Tell us about one of those games on September 8th at 1 o'clock that you go, you know what? I've been around the block too many times to watch this one play out.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it makes sense on the field, too. I took two with Indianapolis against Houston. You kind of teased them before the break. Houston coming into the season, this is one of the best rosters in football. You had Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon. Defense is solid under DeMeco Ryans. You got a second-year quarterback who's taking that leap to becoming a star. You know, yet they're all, you know, and this number's dropped to 1.5 at some books. They're begging you to bet the Texans here, you know, but as you know, it's hard to win on the road in the NFL. I like the Colts. I like AR5. He's healthy. You know, you like what they've done, I think, on defense under Eberflus. I think they've kind of, they don't have him anymore, but they did decent things under him. Gus Bradley takes over. That's a pretty solid defense all of a sudden. I think that one's a screams Colts. I like Steichen a lot. I kind of like what they've added, you know, with Adonai Mitchell and, you know, Josh Downs is a guy that hopefully is good to go as the season goes on. I like that spot. And also throw one other one. I like Arizona week one against Buffalo. Seven taking them. You mentioned to me, Kyler Murray, that's going to be a good dog team. Buffalo, what do they look like without Stephon Diggs? It's not that difficult to travel across the country first game out. And I'm seeing books even putting out 6.5. When you cross 7 in the NFL, that is a strong line move. That indicates to me that sharper, smarter money is on Arizona. And I would love to be on both dogs here, one of which is a home dog.
Backdoor action there between those games at 7 points or higher. By the way, let me ask you this question. There's a couple of wide receivers still holding out. Brandon Ayuk, San Francisco 49ers, CeeDee Lamb, Dallas Cowboys, Jamar Chase of the Cincinnati Bengals. We know how pressure bursts pipes, which means getting close to game day, neither one of these teams necessarily want their best players to be sitting out. If I said those three wide receivers, will they all be playing, Jeff, week one?
I think they will. I think Ayuk, you know who I think is going to swoop in and get Ayuk? Washington. I think they're kind of making they're maybe getting back in that race. They just released Dotson, who I didn't think fit there. You all of a sudden throw him on with Terry McLaurin. You know, they don't have much outside of Terry. CeeDee Lamb's interesting. I was thinking yesterday, wouldn't it be fascinating, Donnie, if Howie Roseman swoops in and tries to we'll see them away from Dallas. I don't think it's possible, but
fist fights in the locker room.
Yeah, I think Jerry will figure that out. But I think he's the only one. I think probably CeeDee's probably the only one that's on his team. They need to pay him. It's time to stop screwing around. What the hell do they have at running back, by the way? I was looking at their depth chart recently. Ezekiel Elliott, what is this, 2014, yeah. Donnie? Ezekiel Elliott's your star running back? What's going on there?
Like, Jeff, I honestly said, like, CeeDee Lamb right now shouldn't even look at Justin Jefferson's numbers, like, for much he's getting paid. Like, he could probably go after Dak Prescott. Because tell me this. Like, if there's one player outside of a quarterback that doesn't show up for his team, like, game number one, like, if CeeDee Lamb doesn't play for the Cowboys this year, like, you're automatically just writing them off as if they're going to be 500 or less and be lucky to be there. Like, they really need, like, if Jamar Chase doesn't show up week number one, they got T. Higgins, still Burrow, a quarterback, young kid in Burton, the wide receiver. If Ayuk doesn't show up week one, still a quality offense, Shanahan calls it and the way they go.
Yeah.
Like, if CeeDee Lamb doesn't show up week number one, what are they doing, the Cowboys?
And same with Cincinnati for that matter. I mean, without Jamar Chase, I mean, they have a decent group. But, I mean, from what I understand, I read an article that the contract that the kid wants, Chase, is not as crazy as I think it's been reported. I think he wants around where Justin Jefferson is. That's my issue, though. Jamar Chase is a very good receiver. Is he Justin Jefferson? Or maybe he wants more than even Justin Jefferson? I don't know. I think CeeDee and Jamar will figure it out. As you alluded to, if you're the Niners, though, you hold the leverage. You want to walk.
Yes, you do. Yeah. You'll play here $14 million. And first of all, number one, players want to be in camp with their teammates. We understand that. Number two, owners want the best players on the field. And players, Jeff, they're not missing game checks, man. Like Trent Williams out there at left tackle, come on now. He's going to sit out and miss like $2 million a game. No, he's not going to do that.
We'll sign Jared him up here. We'll get everyone ready to go.
Exactly. Start paying people out there in the streets. Exactly. Hopefully we can make some money tomorrow. Absolutely with that. Well, he was the big man on campus. Had a lot of fun today on the show Moneyline. I'm Donnie Wrightside and JP behind the wheels of steel. We will see you on Monday for another game week edition of Moneyline. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.